Welcome to the My Shamanic Life podcast, your exploration of spiritual ecology and the shamanic and spiritual practices that promote well-being for all beings. I'm your host, Debbie Phil, and I'm here to share insights and practices to get ready, get rooted, and get real about your health and the state of life on planet Earth. We'll explore the wisdom of deep ecology, look at some sad truths about the disappearing more than human world, feel into earth-based practices and teachings, and take action to help restore the wonder and magic of biodiversity to our world. I invite you to discover your passion and power, to unlock your inner wisdom, and to connect with our earth family as you map your own path to service. I am a white woman recording on the Adirondack hunting territory of the Mohawk Nation of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, ceded in 1797 without council approval. I acknowledge that my presence here is the ongoing legacy of settler colonialism, which includes the exclusion and erasure of many Indigenous peoples. I also acknowledge that this land I am on was once shared with species that have been eradicated by those settlers, including the Eastern Cougar, the Canadian Lynx, the Eastern Elk, the Passenger Pigeon, and the Gray Wolf. Settle in now, and wherever you are listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Become aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth. Feel how you are held, anchored in, nourished and nurtured. You are here. The time is now. Shamanic Reiki blends traditional Usui Reiki with shamanic techniques and a strong emphasis on connection with nature. My fall 2023 virtual shamanic Reiki trainings are on schedule and registration is open on my website. Level 1 and Level 2 are each going to be 3 consecutive Monday nights from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Level 1 begins September 25th, and Level 2 kicks off November 20th. You'll find the link for more information in the show notes. Virtual Level 1 and Level 2 will be offered again, along with Shamanic Reiki Master Practitioner, in the new year. In last week's episode, I spoke about how part of harvesting is a decision-making process to figure out what you want to keep and what you want to compost. My dear friend, Jen Van Benskoten, jumped right on that to pick a tarot card to work with for that process. I usually talk a bit more before Jen's segment, but it went long when we recorded it, and it was so good I didn't want to cut anything out. So we'll get right into it. Jen is an amazing tarot reader and teacher. She makes gorgeous magical gemstone jewelry, and she's doing incredible things with a ukulele. She's out on the socials as Hot Mess Healing, and you'll find her link in the show notes. Jen, it is so amazing to have you back again. And I am really looking forward to hearing how you're going to work with this decision-making process with the tarot. So take it away.
All right. So I am also really excited to be back and talking some more about tarot. And I realized when I was working this one up, I realized that I've been talking a lot about the major arcana so far in these podcasts. And And I think, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the major arcana today because I realize like I've been talking so much about this particular part of the deck. There are two main parts of the tarot deck. Some people say some tarot readers, researchers, philosophers, whatever you want to call them, some people say there's three. They say that the three parts of the tarot deck are the court cards, the major arcana, and the minor arcana. Most tarot readers, though, most people that I follow and that I learn from, that I studied with, talk about just two parts of the tarot, the major arcana and the minor cards. And the minor cards, they call them the pip cards, and they talk about, the quote unquote mundane things in our physical world, all these things that we do every day, going to work, making a living, earning money, our relationships with our friends and our family and people and things like that. So that's really what the minor arcana talks about. But the major arcana, which is one of the cards I'm going to talk about today, talks more about life's bigger pictures. And I think that especially applies today when we're talking about decision making. And we're talking about the judgment card. And to talk about the judgment card, we have to get in the old Wayback Machine for a minute, and we have to go all the way back to the 1400s and 1500s when the tarot was first created as a card game. So it may have been used for divination at this point, but mostly it was just used for card games and parlor games among, mostly among the very wealthy part of society. And the other thing to remember too, when we go in the Wayback Machine here, is at this time, the world, most of the world, as we understand it, was very patriarchal, and it was very much ruled by the Catholic Church. Pretty much every aspect of your life was ruled by the Catholic Church. And there was this pervading consciousness of humans being judged by God, depending on how you lived your life. And how you lived your life supposedly is how you were going to experience the afterlife. And we all know now that there was like a whole lot of mental gymnastics going on at that time because, people were committing some, humans were committing some pretty, some pretty horrific atrocities. And they were all like, well, God wanted me to do it, so they were exercising this kind of twisted form of judgment. And we know now, we've kind of evolved now that thankfully we've kind of evolved now that the idea of judgment in the tarot has really evolved from that kind of very patriarchal religious center to something more humanistic and more something that's more for the highest good of all sentient beings, something of a more Buddhist approach to it. And so talking about the judgment card here, the judgment is the next to last card in the major arcana. It comes right before the world. And that's very important. I'll circle back to that in a little bit. But it's really, so in the original Rider-Waite deck that we've seen and some of the very, very early tarot decks that we've seen, judgment was depicted as a bunch of people rising out of coffins in the ground. It looks like an episode of The Last of Us or something. And there's an angel blowing a horn down on them. And like you look at it and it's like, to me, it's like, it's kind of creepy, kind of funny at the same time. It looks like a bad zombie movie, it looks like a bad zombie movie from like the 1980s or something or the 90s. And at that time, but at that time, right, when this was, when these images were originally put together on the tarot, everybody was talking about Judgment Day. Everybody was like waiting for the end of the world. They thought the end of the world was going to happen any second now. And that was, 1,000 years ago, 800 years ago. So we're, it's everybody was so very much looking forward to Judgment Day, the end of the world. And now it's like we've kind of like chilled out a bit about that. We've kind of cooled our jets on that a little bit. But the energy of the judgment card has evolved from that from that very Catholic, very patriarchal idea of judgment and the afterlife, to now it's more about the energy of transformation and rebirth, coming after the death card, coming very, coming a few steps after the death card, is the judgment card, this idea of these things that happen that result in change and transformation for us, and it also talks about kind of an awakening, whether it's, whether it's a spiritual awakening or, whatever you want to call it, an intuitive awakening, being more aware of things and letting that awareness influence and inform your decision making. That's really what judgment is all about. And I just want to say, and I want to talk here for a minute about judgment, because I know there are some spiritual circles out there that talk about judgment like it's a bad thing. They try to avoid judgment at all costs. And first of all, that's not a realistic way to live in this world. It's really not a realistic path for anybody to avoid judgment all the time. You have to make judgments. You have to make decisions every single day, whether it's, do I eat the last Reese's peanut butter cup? Do I, should I drink this milk that's a week old and smells kind of off? You have to use your judgment. You have to use that judgment every single day. And when you look at it in the greater sense of what we're experiencing right now, living in this end stage capitalist world where we're experiencing things like climate change and we're experiencing, record levels of homelessness, there are a lot of people who, a lot of people in certain spiritual circles who seem to think that judgment isn't a good thing. But if we're going to survive as a species, if we are going to find a way to step aside and allow the planet to heal, and if we're going to, find ways to heal each other and to heal ourselves, we need to refine and really exercise, that discernment, that judgment. We really need to work on that. We need to use it to the best of our ability. And I think of that quote by I think of that quote by the Holocaust survivor and philosopher and author, Elie Wiesel. I think that's how you say his name. I can't remember how to pronounce his name, where he said that, neutrality never helps the victim, only the oppressor. And that right there is probably the most important reason why we need to be able to embrace this idea of judgment, embrace this energy of judgment, and we need to evolve it, and we really need to put it to use to do things that are good for ourselves and things that are good for not just for ourselves, but also things that are good for the planet and for each other and for all the non-human beings on this planet, because they're suffering as well. So, and when it comes down to judgment, once you have evaluated and discerned and tapped into that intuition, it very often involves a process of letting go. And I thought it was really interesting when I was listening to your last podcast, when you were talking about, all these things that you manifested, and then you're just like, meh, and you have to let it go. So judgment really involves really, judgment does involve a little bit of letting go. And I can refer you back to the death card right at the beginning, when I started doing these podcasts with you, going back to the death card and learning from that. But for now we're going to talk about just that process of decision making, because it can be really difficult. It can be really challenging. There are plenty of times when I have found myself in a position where I have needed to let go of something. And and I knew it on every level of my being. Like, I could feel it in my body. I knew it was time to move on. My body was making that decision for me, but I still had a really difficult time in that letting go. Because I kept ignoring my own better judgment. I kept ignoring my own intuition, until finally it got to the point where it was like, nope, okay, now we're done, There was at one point, a couple of examples. At one point, I had what was at the time my dream job, and it was a fully remote position. I worked out of my home. I had this amazing team of coworkers and colleagues, and it was, I was working for this really small progressive publishing company, and we did a lot of things that were very unheard of in corporate America. It was really a wonderful, it was a wonderful experience. And then our beautiful, small, little progressive company was acquired by a huge, by a much bigger corporation because capitalism. And everything literally changed overnight. And I knew in my heart that it was time to let go. But there were a lot of reasons, there were a lot of reasons why I was afraid to do that. But I knew it was like, my better judgment was telling me, after about a year, after about a year and a half of about a year and a half of working with the, under this new giant corporation, that it was time to let go. And it was really difficult for me to do that. And there was another time when I was actually working as a delivery driver, and for one of the local organic creameries. And it was great, and I had such a good time doing it, and it was fun, and I loved what I was doing. I loved that I was helping them with their mission of like distributing, organic healthy food to like local restaurants, and I was helping them build their business so they could do more of this. I was helping to nourish people. And then it got to a point where, it started to feel not so good. And I had to evaluate whether or not this was something, I had to evaluate whether or not this was something I could continue to do, with some slight modifications, or if it was just time to let it go and learn from all that I had done and move on. So, in both of those instances, using tarot as a tool for decision making can be really useful. And especially, with judgment, when it comes to some of these big life decisions that, we really need to think about. Sometimes the decisions will come easy. Sometimes, you just know. Sometimes you just know, and you can move, and you can flow. Other times you might need to put a little bit of thought into something, and that's where tarot can come in and be a really useful tool for that. Now, in the past, I never used to recommend using tarot for things like yes/no questions. I always used to refer people, I'd be like, if you have a yes/no question, get a pendulum. But I have, in my own experience working with it, I have found, as I've grown with the tarot, I have found that, there are ways that you can use your deck for a simple yes/no answer. There's this most recent deck that I got my hands on, which is the Raven's Dream Tarot, which is an incredible deck. And she actually, the artist actually has in the guidebook, she has this whole system. She wrote out this entire system of using the tarot for yes/no questions, and like different cards mean yes, and some cards mean no, and some cards upright mean yes, and some cards reversed mean yes. And she wrote this whole thing out, and it was great and it was fascinating. But being the lazy tarot reader that I am, what I will sometimes do now is, if I have a simple yes/no question, then I will shuffle the heck out of my deck, and I will pull a card at random from somewhere in the deck. And if it comes up upright, then the answer is yes. And if it comes out reversed, then the answer is no. And if you have a question that's, that's more nuanced than just a yes/no, I recommend, if you have a question that, if you have a question that's, and the way I kind of feel about it is, if you have a question that's so complex that, you have to go through all these steps to get a yes/no answer, then you're probably better off not getting a yes/no answer, and you're probably better off examining the questions that you're asking. And Asking a good question in tarot will give you a good answer. So the better your questions, the better your answers are going to be in tarot. That's like my number one rule for new readers, for people who are just starting to work with tarot. The better you can formulate your questions, the better your answers are going to be. So I put together this ritual, this little ritual that you can do for decision making with tarot. And again, remember, like I always tell people, reading tarot isn't going to tell you anything that you don't already know. So you shouldn't be terribly surprised by the cards that come up when you're doing a decision making tarot spread, So based on that, right, I have this ritual for decision making using the judgment card. So I recommend doing this. It's best done with a journal or at least a paper and pen so that you can write down what's coming to you and look back on it later. The first thing, and I always recommend writing by hand because it really allows you to connect. So don't type it on your computer. Get a pen and a paper and, a pen and a piece of paper or a notebook and write it out by hand so that you're really connecting with what you're feeling in your body, because that's very, very important in this, is to pay attention to what you're feeling in your body as these answers and these cards come up. So, make yourself a little sacred space and, make sure that you're doing this. Make sure you're doing this at a time when you can, when you won't be interrupted, so that you can really dive deep into this and go through your deck. You can light a candle, take a couple of deep breaths, and then go through your deck and pull out the judgment card and put that at the top of your table or your tarot cloth or whatever, put it right somewhere where you can see it. And before you pull any other cards, before you pull any other cards, take a look at that judgment card and start writing down the things that you notice, whether you notice a symbol or an image or a shape or a color. Start writing those things down and, notice what you're feeling with that card. You can also take a moment while you're looking at this card to notice how you're feeling about this decision and this process. Do you feel like you're going into this with some degree of confidence, or are you feeling a little blocked? Are you feeling a little bit of self-doubt? Are you feeling maybe not as confident as you would? Okay. So take note of all these things and write them down on your paper or in your journal. Okay. And take a minute and think about your question. Think about the question that you are going to ask. Okay. So, sometimes you can, it helps, it'll help if you just start, should I do insert action here? should I do this? Should I do this other thing? Okay. And, that could be answered as a yes, no, right? And you can totally start there doing a yes, no answer. But if you want to go a little deeper with this, and you want to get a little more information about this, we can reframe that question from a yes, no to a what happens if I do this? And that way you always have at least two options. When you're looking at making a decision, when you're looking at choosing a path, choosing a course of action, you always have at least two decisions, or at least two options. You do the thing or you don't do the thing. And not doing the thing is also, it's an action and it will have consequences, will have reverberations the same. You'll have results, just like if you do the thing. So you think about your options. Think about the options that are available to you right now. So it would be, you could write questions like, what if I apply to grad school right now? What if I don't apply to grad school at all? Or what if I apply to grad school at some point in the future? Okay. And as you're looking at these, you might find some different options coming up for you. You might find that there are some options that you had not previously recognized, that you are, because you're in this nice, relaxed state, because you're in this sacred space, you may find some other options available to you. You may think of things that you hadn't been able to think of before, in our overstimulated 6,000 channel world. So, and you don't have to have all the options on the table right now, and that's the beauty of this, but think of, you can think of two, what if I do the thing? What if I don't do, or think of three, what if I do the thing? What if I don't do the thing? What if I do the thing at some point in the future? Okay. And again, and that's up to you. When you talk about at some point in the future, again, that's where this discernment comes in. And it may be that this is not the right time for you to be doing a thing. So with that judgment card, right, with that judgment card, with that judgment card at the top, and again, don't be surprised if, as you are meditating on this, don't be surprised if other options come to you. And you always have the option to, to do this spread again, with different options. There's lots of things you can do. So once you really clarified your question, and once you've clarified your options, shuffle your deck. Okay. And you can start by, underneath that judgment card, you can start one area for each of your options. And again, this is a place where you really want to trust your intuition to guide you. You can keep it simple and pull just one card for each option that you've come up with, or you can pull three cards for each option. And again, I would err on the side of keeping it simple. So I would say no more than three cards, and that should give you a pretty good idea. And then once you have these cards pulled, right, for each option, flip them over and take a look at them. Notice what comes up for you in these cards. And again, don't be surprised if these cards come up with information that you kind of already knew, that you've already sensed. And you can trust the cards. You can really trust them to be a confirmation of these things that you already knew, when it comes to evaluating each of these decisions. And if you would like, you can go deeper, you can go further, with these cards, and if you've decided to pull the three cards, you can either look at them collectively as a whole, tell a story, to paint a picture, right? Or you can ask a different question of each card. You can ask questions like, if you were going to pull the three cards, what I would do with them is I would say, what's my motivation for choosing this option? What is my motivation? What's the underlying energy, for me being drawn to this option? And then you can say, how does this option align with my highest good? Because really, there will be something in each option that, there will be something in each option that will align with your highest good. It may not work out the way you envisioned it. like Debbie, like you were talking about in your previous podcast, it may not work out the way that you were envisioning it to. But there may be a reason why you're drawn to this. Look at it as a side quest. It may not necessarily, it's not necessarily a waste of time. It may be something that you need to experience, or something that you need to see or hear, along your path, right? Remember, the path is a spiral. It's not a straight line, it's a spiral. And it'll keep taking, our life path here is a spiral, and it will take us, in these directions. It'll take us in what feels like a million different directions to keep us on that path. And then a third thing that you can ask that I always like to ask is, what's the most likely outcome for choosing this option? And again, remembering that, when you see, if you see something and you don't like that most likely outcome, nothing is written in stone. The tarot is here to give you an idea of what could possibly happen. And then it's up to you to take those steps to either manifest it or to change it. I don't believe that any of us, have a predetermined path, a predetermined destiny, here in this world. I really believe that, there are some things that we can do to help ourselves to, to heal ourselves. You don't have to be stuck in, you don't have to be stuck in one place forever. You can do something to heal yourself or change your situation. And as you're going through these cards, right, as you're going through these cards, take a moment and write down what comes to you when you're looking at these cards. And you can do it the same way as, as what you did with the judgment card. You can just simply write down, colors, shapes, symbols, images, whatever comes to you. You can write down any words. And the beauty of doing this, this is kind of a practice of automatic writing, which is something that I've been using for years and years and years. The beauty in automatic writing and writing by hand, again, is that it really allows you to connect with your physical body, and it allows you to connect with that wisdom of the physical body that is trying to come through for you. So, you may find yourself writing things that totally don't make sense at the moment. And, just write it down and trust it. And put it down on paper, and you'll be amazed at what comes up. And then when you're done, right, when you're done with all this, when you feel like you are finished, and again, you'll know it, trust your intuition. Don't set a timer if you don't have to for something like this, but you'll know when you're finished, you'll feel it. And when you're finished, close your journal. Fold up the paper that you just wrote everything down on and set it aside. Put it on, tuck it under your pillow, or put it in your tote bag, or put it somewhere where you won't look at it for a day or a night. And then go back the next day or a couple days later if you have that kind of time. If you have the time to, if you can let it sit for a couple days, it's always better. Go back, take the judgment card out again, and look at what you wrote down. Making a note of you making notes of what cards you pulled, what you saw. Sit down and look at that again, and again, notice what comes up, and notice if you have had any kind of synchronicity in the last couple of days, in the last day or so since you looked at these. I'm a big fan of dream magic, so I like to tuck things under my pillow at night. I like to tuck things under my pillow at night where they can just kind of permeate while I'm sleeping, while I'm actively dreaming. And take a look at what was Take a look at what you wrote down. You may find some things that totally don't resonate with you, and that's okay. And again, if they don't resonate with you, just you can cast them aside. You can give them to the squirrels, as Debbie would say. You could give them to the squirrels. But the things that do resonate with you, you'll know, and you can use those to inform your decision making. And now I'm not saying that, and again, remembering here that, it may not be possible to, it may not be possible to make, to jump into a huge life-changing decision, like quitting your job or, moving to a new state, things like that. It may not be possible at the moment, but, and again, but if if that's what comes up in your decision-making process, you can kind of put that out there into the ether, into the universe, and just say, okay, guide me towards this. What do I have to do? And this is where you go back to your manifesting tarot and your manifesting practices to be like, this maybe this is the best thing for me right now. And remember, and and now I'm going to circle back to, since I told you that judgment is the next to last card in the tarot, or in the major arcana of the tarot, the last card of the major arcana is the world. And I'm sure I'll be able to talk about that in a future episode. But the world, when the world, the world is a re the world symbolizes that, symbolizes those cycles of beginning and ending, beginning and ending, beginning and ending. And I think my favorite representation of the world is from a non-human deck, is from a non-human deck that depicts it as an atoll, an island in the middle of the ocean. And those atolls are the perfect representation of taking, they're the perfect representation of the energy of taking everything you've learned from an experience and using it to build and building on that and using it to build something new. And, in the judgment card, that's really what we're doing. We're building on, we're taking these experiences that we've had, and we're letting it inform our decision-making process at the time. So it's there's a divine order there in the order of the major arcana. The judgment card is being able to make those decisions, and then you come to the world, which is, taking those decisions that you've made and those actions and those experiences and using them to build on something new. So, that judgment, again, it's, and it's kind of beautiful when you look at it. That judgment card is, it's just one step. And, and it may feel like an overwhelming step, which is why you have come to the tarot to begin with, it may feel very overwhelming to have to make these decisions in this, in this world, because we do very often find ourselves having to make these we do find ourselves having to make these decisions that can feel very momentous, and they're, and it can be kind of intimidating to know that you have to let these things fall away, that we have to let these things, we have to make that decision to, to let these things go and have them just be part of our past. So, and again, if you can do this ritual over the course of a couple of days, that's, I highly recommend doing that. When you can, set aside a little bit of time. It doesn't have to be a lot of time, but setting aside a little bit of time when you won't be disturbed and you can get into that quiet place to make those decisions and, make those decisions and allow what's going to be to just be. So yeah, major arcana. And as I was saying earlier, look for I look for in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be writing a new tarot course, which is not what I expected to be doing right now, but I'm going to be writing up a new tarot course about using the major arcana. To examine some of these themes in our lives, these major events, and being able to use the major arcana is really important for that. It's really important for us being able to take a look at our lives, especially as we move, as you know, especially as we're moving into the west direction now. We're moving into fire season, and Samhain coming on October 31st. Yay. It's a really good time. It's a really good time to kind of take stock of these things. So look for that in a couple of weeks. Once I can put that together, and I'll share links with everybody once I get that put together. And that also on that note, I would also like to say, and again, this kind of dovetails with what Debbie said in her last podcast, which I just so resonated with. Whenever I do tarot classes these days, I'm lucky enough that I'm in a place where I can offer these classes on a sliding scale fee, where, I will never turn anybody away for lack of funds for doing these for these tarot courses, because I really believe, first of all, like I said, like I'm in a position where I can do that, so I feel, like this is something that's very much needed. And so, don't be intimidated by, don't be intimidated by, the thought of having to, don't be intimidated by the thought of having to pay a lot for these courses, because whenever I do these courses from here on out, I always offer them on a sliding scale fee or a scholarship option for people, because I want everybody to be able to learn from this and grow from this, because I think it's very important at this stage of the world to have access to this. So look for that in a couple of weeks, just in time for fire season.
That is so awesome. I am looking forward to your course. And as someone who has taken your tarot courses in the past, I can highly recommend them. So I am very excited. And it was amazing, amazing, amazing listening to you talk about the judgment card. And I am so glad that you were here today, this week. And I look forward to next month.
Thank you, so do I.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of My Shamanic Life. Check the show notes for the links I mentioned this week. And remember to like and subscribe to get weekly episodes in your feed with more practices, teachings, and actions so you can get ready, get rooted, and get real about life on this planet. May you find wonder and magic in the beings around you this week, and practice walking gently on our earth each and every day.